We are joined on the phone by Tom Jensen, who is the director of public policy polling, national public opinion firm based out of Raleigh. And they've just put out a new survey of North Carolina voters looking ahead to some of the big items that are going to be on the ballot in the 2020 election. Publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom, thanks for being with us today. How are you?
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So, North Carolina survey, about 600 North Carolina voters surveyed, and the results just got released from the survey that was taken a couple of days ago. Starting with the presidential race, where do things stand in this state?
Well, things are very closely divided, as we sort of know. It's kind of the reality of North Carolina politics. We find that Donald Trump is slightly underwater. 47% of voters have a favorable opinion of him, 49% unfavorable. And certainly those numbers are better than his numbers nationally. But it's always important to remember that you would sort of expect that in North Carolina, because even though Donald Trump lost the popular vote by 2 points in 2016 nationally, he won North Carolina by 4 points, so he did 6 points better in North Carolina than the country as a whole. And is that in that context, it's not surprising to see him holding up here a little bit better than he is nationally. We tested him against a generic Democratic opponent, and he trails by 3 points, 50-47. And I think that just reinforces what we already knew, that North Carolina is likely to be a toss-up state next year in the presidential race, again, consistent with what has sort of happened to the state over the last decade and change. In 2008, we were the second closest state in the country for president. In 2012, we were the second closest state in the country for president. We're likely to be very close again next year.
I was taking a look at some of the crosstabs, and no surprise here, pretty much everyone who voted for Trump in 2016 supports him and is probably going to vote for him again in 2020. Pretty much everyone who voted against Trump in 2016 is pretty unanimously opposed to him now and has every intention to vote for someone else in 2020. And then there's that third category of people who didn't vote for either Trump or Hillary in 2016, the more kind of independent voters. Maybe they voted for a third party candidate, maybe they didn't vote at all in 2016. What do we know about that group?
We've definitely seen that even though it isn't a huge chunk of the electorate, the people who didn't vote for either Clinton or Trump last time around tend to be a very Democratic-leaning group, and that's something we've been seeing, including all of last year's elections, too. I think there's a tendency when you sort of don't like anybody to vote for whoever is not currently in power. So those kinds of voters who didn't like anybody tended to vote for Trump in 2016, but if they still don't like Trump, which is the case, they're now sort of planning to vote Democratic in 2020, even if they don't really like the Democrats. And then the other piece of this is you have people who decided to sit out 2016 who are coming back into the electorate, and those folks tend to be strongly Democratic. And those are the kind of folks who didn't like Hillary Clinton, but so they didn't vote. And now they've seen that not voting has created bad things. And they're sort of returning to the electorate now, and those kinds of people are more likely to vote Democratic as well.
Do we see, like, enthusiasm levels among those voters?
Well, those kinds of voters are not enthusiastic generally, and that's a piece of why they're such a small part of the electorate. But then the other group that I should mention that's part of that as well is people who are new to the electorate. Since 2016, people who have turned 18 in the 3 years since we had that last election. We also know that those folks are likely to be overwhelmingly Democratic in their voting patterns.
One thing that I also saw taking a look just at the presidential numbers is the racial breakdown in terms of approval or disapproval of Donald Trump. And again, not really a surprise there. African Americans almost unanimously opposed, majority of whites in favor. The number among Latinos is interesting because the approval rating for Donald Trump is higher than I expected it to be. And the number of Latino voters that said they hadn't really made up their minds on Donald Trump was also a lot higher than I expected it to be. Is that something that you've seen in other surveys as well, or is there something about this one in particular?
basically, what it boils down to is Latinos are about 2.5% of the electorate in North Carolina. So there's like 15 Latinos in the survey.
Okay.
And you just can't really make anything out of it at all. My personal preference is not to release Latino crosstabs on a North Carolina poll just because potential to sort of make something out of it that's not really there. But, you know, our client wanted Latino crosstabs, so there you go.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com, the website. Again, find him on Twitter at PPPpolls for even more numbers. That's the state of the presidential race. You also asked about the state of the U.S. Senate race. Tom Tillis likely to be the Republican nominee. Cal Cunningham, probably the most prominent of the Democrats who's filed to challenge him or planning to file to challenge him. So that was the head-to-head matchup that you looked at. What did you find?
We found Cal Cunningham with a two-point lead, 45-43. Interestingly, there was also a Republican poll that came out earlier this week from one of Donald Trump's pollsters that they did on behalf of the AARP. And they also found Cal Cunningham with a one-point lead over Tom Tillis. So there's some consensus there on both the Democratic and Republican sides of the aisle. And this small lead for Cunningham is consistent with what we had found earlier in the summer when we did a poll in June. We had Cunningham with a one-point lead as well. One thing I think that we've talked about a lot that you really see here is you're just not likely to see a very big divide between how people vote for the president and how people vote for the Senate. In this particular poll, Trump's down 3, Tillis is down 2. So they're running within 1 point of each other. That's about what I think will happen, that they'll run within 1 or maybe 2 points of each other. So it really does mean that their fates are very closely linked. If Donald Trump can win North Carolina by 3 or 4, Tom Tillis is going to come along for the ride. But if Donald Trump loses North Carolina by 3 or 4, Tillis is going to go down too. And the only way we would probably have a split outcome is if one party won the presidential race by a point and the other party won the Senate race by a point or something like that. But you're not going to see a world where Donald Trump loses by 2 points and Tillis gets reelected by 6. If Trump goes down, Tillis is probably going down too.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and again, we're talking about the survey of North Carolina voters that was just conducted earlier this week, just came out in the last little while. And the numbers in terms of, and kind of getting back to the presidential race and Trump in particular, the numbers here are pretty consistent with what we've found in previous surveys of North Carolina voters. And that's been, and we've talked about this, kind of the case nationwide as well, that Trump's approval rating and disapproval rating have really just kind of locked into place and has not moved very much. Every so often you'll get an outlier survey that comes out that shows that Trump's approval rating has dropped a bit or has gone up a bit, and you get the media reports about that. But you look at all of the surveys in the aggregate, it's just that same number that just keeps remaining exactly where it is, regardless of what seems to happen. So with that in mind, is there anything that can happen positively or negatively for Trump that would move the dial, or are we all just kind of locked into our opinions now?
Well, there's sort of a two-pronged answer to that. There's two ways Trump can get reelected, but there's only one way Trump can get popular. So the two ways Trump can get reelected, I'll talk about the way he can get reelected that doesn't make him popular. It's just if he can simply do what he did to Hillary Clinton in 2016, where whoever the Democrats end up putting forward, Trump manages to make voters think that person's even worse than him, such that a bunch of people who don't like Trump end up deciding to vote for Trump because they think that the Democratic alternative is even worse. I think that's going to be a lot harder for him to do as an incumbent, but that is one of the two paths he has forward. The only way I could see Trump getting reelected and becoming popular is if something really bad happens in the country on sort of a 9/11 scale, a terrorist attack, or we get drawn into a war that people really do feel like is a war that we have to be in rather than something sort of trumped up by Trump just for that purpose. But I don't think there's any way that Trump becomes popular without some sort of drastic change in the condition of what's going on in the country. There's nothing Trump himself can do that's going to make him popular. He's gone well beyond that point. So I think the only thing that would really sort of change this overall political calculus is if something happened in the changes of the country that gave Trump an opportunity to rise to the occasion, so to speak, and become sort of a more unifying figure. Short of that, I think he's in very bad shape for reelection.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen, and as we wrap up, other numbers from this particular survey that stand out to you, or other numbers that you're seeing from other surveys that are worth noting?
Well, even though we talk about the Senate race being just a 2-point lead for Cal Cunningham, Tom Tillis is actually very unpopular. Only 33% of voters have a favorable opinion of him. 51% have an unfavorable one. So there's a lot of people who don't like him who will still vote for him anyway in the general election. That helps him get that deficit against Cunningham within 2 points. But he's definitely not well liked. But one thing that maybe is a sliver of good news for Tillis in this poll, we found that with Republicans in the poll, his favorability rating is actually on the rise. We found 57% favorable for him with Republicans, 28% unfavorable. We've seen that much more closely divided earlier in the year than we're seeing right now, where Tillis is back on more positive ground with Republicans. And I think that's because Trump was down here last week at that rally in Fayetteville, and he spoke very favorably of Tom Tillis. One thing that's always been sort of an interesting dichotomy about Tillis' situation with Republicans this year is that Republicans were mad at him for standing up to Trump, but Trump has endorsed him. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Republicans may not have known that that Trump was actually behind Tillis until that high visibility event in the state last week sort of reinforced that. And we really did see an almost immediate uptick in his numbers, at least within his own party, that might make him a little bit less susceptible to a primary challenge. He's also running a ton of TV ads already to sort of try to deal with that problem as well. So that may be part of the improved numbers too.
Get more numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com. You can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.